Thank you, DA, and greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope that I can convey the message that I got out of this study. I did this study some time back. I guess it all goes clear back to Easter. I had the privilege of preaching Easter Sunday evening, and I worked on some of the evidences that the cold case evidence of the empty tomb, and it built my faith. We all know what's right and wrong, but it's my faith that starts getting weak and lets me do wrong things and go astray and to start complaining and to be less than what God would have me to be. It's because a lack of faith. And so I after that Easter Sunday, I thought, you know, my next sermon needs to be uplifting and faith building. And so I was looking for something that would build faith. And I ran across in my readings a verse that just jumped out at me, and I'm going to share it with you. And it comes from the third chapter of Jacob, and my whole sermon is going to come out of that chapter, the third chapter of Jacob. So if you have your books, open the third chapter of Jacob and keep it there, because we will be dealing with that chapter. There's a little handout that passed out. It's a timeline. There's nothing sacred about that timeline. It's maybe not accurate, but there is a lesson in that that I hope you can take away, and that you can go back and look at it, and you can critique it, and you can make changes to it, and you can use it for a study to build your faith, because that's what it did for me when I created that little timeline. But the verse that I had in mind that kind of brought me to focus on this topic is found in the seventh verse of the third chapter of Jacob. Wherefore, we search the prophets, and we have many revelations in the spirit of prophecy. And having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope, and our faith becometh unshaken, insomuch that we can command in the name of Jesus, the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea. Now that is incredible faith. Better than and stronger than what I have. And I desire to have that faith. So what did he do to get that faith? We search the prophets. Searching prophecy, that's always been a muddle in my mind. I don't know that I understand the prophecies. You read Isaiah and you can get confused. You read Revelations and I'm even more confused. And everybody has an opinion. And how does that build faith? Well, I believe it does. And that's why I had those questions in my mind when I read this. And so I decided I was going to deal with the third chapter of Jacob, because for those of us that know about the third chapter of Jacob, it is primarily a prophecy that a man by the name of Zenas gave. And so we're going to study that prophecy. But let me read on here, because it's interesting that Jacob is saying that they had great faith, and yet, nevertheless, the Lord God sheweth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by his grace and his great condescensions unto the children of men that we have power to do these things. If I have faith that I can move mountains, I might get lifted up in my pride. I have faith that I can move mountains. So God shows us our weakness. Immediately, when Jacob identifies that he has strong faith, he also confesses that God shows him his weakness. And we need that. We must be shown our weakness so that we will be humble Behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. And how unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of him. And it is impossible that man should find out all his ways. And no man knoweth of his ways, save it be revealed unto him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. And I fear that that's kind of what I had been doing. Prophecies are confusing. There's multiple opinions. And so I despised the revelations of God. And yet, I think we will find that in this revelation of Zenas, a man that we don't know hardly anything about, we assume that he lived before Lehi left Jerusalem, that he was a man, a prophecy at that time. So possibly 600 BC he lived. But that's speculation. He may have lived back in the days of Isaiah or even before that. We do not know because we don't have his record except where it's referred here by Jacob. So let's begin. I am going to read the parable of the vineyard, or of the olive tree, rather, as given by Zenas. I'm going to begin with verse 31. I will not read this whole chapter or the rest of it because it's long, and I need to make comments on certain things as well, so I hope that we can get it done in a fairly timely fashion. I may forget to forward my screen. If I do, raise your hand or point at it or do something to get my attention, but I'm going to start with verse 31. For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will liken thee, O house of Israel, liken to a tame olive tree which a man took and nourished in his vineyard, and it grew and waxed old and began to decay. One verse covers a huge time frame. We know that it was around 21 B.C., that Abraham was born and he lived, I guess it's more, closer to 22 BC, 2200 BC that he lived. And that's where the house of Israel originates from. It was between a covenant between Abraham and God, and then God then continued to fulfill until Israel came into being two generations later. And then he had 12 sons, and so we have the 12 tribes of Israel. But that's God planting this tree in his covenant with Abraham, 2166 BC. He nourishes it, it says, and it became old and began to decay. So how did that all come to pass? Well, we know that the 12 tribes of Israel, amongst those was Joseph. He was one of the sons. He was sold into Egypt. He went down there as a slave. And he rose to power to the point that he was next to the Pharaoh. And he read a dream or interpreted a dream, and he provided nourishment and nutrition for the whole known world at that time for 7 years. Following 7 years of plenty, they went into 7 years of famine, and Joseph provided that. That was a decoy or a draw to get the children of Israel to go down into Egypt. Why? Because God had to protect them. That sounds a little bit bizarre, but he has a little group of people that he wants to protect to grow into a great nation. And so he takes them down into Egypt so that Egypt can be their defenders. They don't have to fight all their wars and have their numbers diminished. They're in the safety of Egypt. Even though there are slaves there, they are protected from the enemies. And so 400 years pass as slaves, and they become millions of people. And so God had protected them. He nourished them, and he nourished that tree. Then Moses leads them out. They have no identity, and so they're... he has to give them an identity. And so there's a number of things that he provides for them. He gives them a law. And he gives them circumcision, and he gives them ordinances that they perform so that they become a people. And so this is how he's nourishing them and making a unit out of this people. So that pass that a long time passes from 2166 down to 1446 when Moses leads them out of Egypt, and then around 1375 they're entering the promised land under Joshua, as we're reading in our Sunday school. God's hand is in this, and he's providing this direction and protection and still training in many of the things that they do. They make mistakes, and so he chastises them, and then he draws them back to him, and he's nourishing this tree. But it begins to decay. And so then he has to do something. So I'm going to read verse 32. This is the first time that he comes and visits his vineyard. And it came to pass that the master of the vineyard went forth, and he saw that his olive tree began to decay, and he saith, I will prune it, and dig about it, nourish it, that perhaps it may shoot forth young and tender branches, and it perish not. And so now he's going to do something to even further nourish his vineyard. I don't know whether the timing's right there, but I put that first visit somewhere around 1375 BC. We can discuss that. It's not important. It's just that we need a continuum of events that took place in the world so we see God's hand taking its effect. He had a plan at the very beginning, and he's going to carry it out to the detail.